Per HKX, mobile.
KN4TFW, mobile.
Up there.
Eddie, good morning.
Sorry to have to wait like that, but I had to get worked around that, what I call the black hole, where the 610 doesn't get in there.
I tried to, you know, I feel like a dummy, but Dale gave me this radio, K4RXI. I've never messed with these things before. And I realized when you said go to 147.285, I didn't know how to use it.
I'm sure you'll learn in the near future. Get you practiced up. What kind of radio is it?
2300H. And, you know, it was one he used to use, so the frequencies are all programmed in it. So it goes from zero to, I think, 35 or something, what he's got programmed in it. But that 285 was not in there. And I'm looking at all these buttons, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a manual with it. So all I've been doing is just staying right here on it.
Download the manual off the internet from ICOM's website. And normally all you got to do is be able to get it into VFO to hit the 285. But from your location, I pretty much doubt you're going to be able to hit the 285. I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
85, repeater.
White Oak Mountain over in Columbus, Tron. So you got some quite a bit of dirt between you and it.
Dirt.
Think about it is, you know, the 610 is a minus 0.6 for the offset, but the 285 is a plus 6.
Thing, I guess, but anyway, for now, I just, I'm old people, you know, we kind of set in our ways.
Mark, I'm getting closer to that, Mark. 9.
We're over here. This radio, it's got, it's a dual VFO, so you can listen to two frequencies at the same time.
Now, he heard me when he was on another, who was that? Was that Annette,
yeah, we were on a 285 and I saw you and heard you pop on the 610, so I jumped over there to grab you.
You did that. Okay, it's Ken.
Yeah, Roger, Kilo Echo November.
Voices. I'm a voice recognition myself.
Coming in here and being a part of the group, it won't take you long. I'm the same way.
I'll tell you more who's who from listening to it. She's up here a good bit. I guess if there's action going on, she'll hear it. I'm in the shop a lot, piddling around, so nothing will work there. Even the handheld won't.
I said, if you get your radio, and I don't know if that one you got does it, but you can set it up as crossband repeat, and you can carry your handheld down into the shop, and that radio will relay the information for you. What I do at home.
Times on his ICOM 2730.
How to do that?
The combination of buttons, you got to hit it all at the same time.
It can split on HF.
Hammer and a paint gun, I'd be okay with it.
What you done for a living before you retired?
And then other odd things, you know, along the way, and just a lot of different, but yeah, I had some body shops I'd opened and sold and whatnot over the years, and some other things, just goofing or just staying busy.
Roger that. I kind of picked up on that from previous conversations, but wasn't 100% sure.
Aviation, too, and go for my commercial and all that, and then I finally figured out it's not worth all the trouble of competition and stuff, so I just flew for fun.
That's something I've never done, been on a plane until about 9 years ago. It was the first time I got on an airplane.
I guess I just burned it out or something. But, yeah, I love flying. I'm scared of heights, but I love flying.
Go ahead and pick it up, Ken.
Listening, just getting to know Dude there, you know what I mean, know what his story is and his life, so it was interesting. KN4TFW.
Not so quick.
You got that right.
You don't know it till you stop for a minute and look back. Now, and since I retired, I mess with my old hot rods and junk and piddle with that, you know.
What you got?
We're on a 57 Chevy truck. I'm customizing. It's not going to be like a 57 Chevy truck, but doing all kind of crazy stuff to it.
Right up my alley. I'm a mechanic for 20-something years, or almost 20 years for Ford and GM, so that's what I did in my previous life.
You know where I'm at then. That's good. Yeah, turning wrench, I still do that and just pedal and different stuff. I did this truck, I don't know what you call it, but I built a frame for it. I put a front steer Camaro, a 72 Camaro front clip under it. Got rid of all that axle and all straight axle.
It's going to be pretty nice if you build a custom frame for it. You put air ride in the rear.
That's one I was against bags, but I don't know if I'm thinking about it. I've got another project I'm sitting over there that I started on and haven't, I shoved it aside. But I might bag that one. Right now, I'd be 74 if I hadn't been sick for a couple of years. Iron wrenches, that's good. You know what it's about.
I did that before. That's what I was doing before I bought the tool franchise, is that. So. But I'm on the way down to pick my truck up. It's ready this morning. It's ready yesterday afternoon, but I was already too far away from it to go get it. So, and I had to arrange a ride. So I'm on my way now to pick it up.
Now,
I'm driving down. I'll leave my excursion there, and then I've already arranged for Gary KI4DOS to pick me up where I normally park at so I can drop the tool truck off, and he'll run me back down to the excursion.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah, I'd like to meet him, too, and Ken and you one day. We will one day.
That we usually get together every couple of months, the group of us, and have a meal together. Try to, anyway.
64, are you retired, or are you getting ready to, or what?
Health is pretty good right now, and they're good to me out here at work, and it's low stress, so I'm probably going to go till 67, I guess.
I retired one time in my 40s, and I had to go back because I didn't have anybody to hang out with. Everybody was old, hung out at McDonald's drinking coffee, and my friends were all working, so I went back to work.
Things going between insurance prices going up, taxes going up, and everything. I may not be able to make it just on Social Security. And Mama's semi-retired. She works 2 or 3 days a week now.
She's, I don't see how anybody could retire on just that. In November.
That. But I was talking to the head Republican in Transylvania County yesterday afternoon, and they're worried about the election because people Western North Carolina ain't going to get the information, and it's not going to be a priority to them because they're just trying to survive, except for the people right there around Asheville, and they all vote a certain way. So... they're trying to figure all that out now, and sounds like it's going to be a real concern because we're, what, less than 30 days away from the election now?
Somehow I need to get forms up to all of them. Just bring the forms to them, fill them out, and bring them back.
How do you secure that? And so, I don't know. It's going to be a mess either way.
The side's counting on. I mean, the other side gets dead people to vote.
That, so, I don't know. I don't know what the answer's going to be, but I'm sure they'll figure out something between now and then. They're going to have to hurry.
I feel good about it. I'm pulling, and I think things will work out about right. I hadn't had internet. We had Spectrum, and it went down. So it's been down since the storm. And I timed out my phone on my plan was, the data was, I used it anyway. I went to Verizon, and now they gave me this little Wi-Fi thing. What, like $43 a month more? And I got my internet back.
I use one of those on the tool truck, the hotspot. That's what I do run my business off of.
Hotspot. They offered a hotspot, but I didn't think I needed that because it's here at the house. But it's a it's Verizon internet, I guess you call it, because it's it doesn't do like the Spectrum did, TV and all that. But I've got that Fire Stick, and it's got everything, all kind of stuff on it. But yeah, this is just internet or data, whatever you want to call it.
It's just mine's mobile and yours is fixed. So, kind of the same thing, though.
Hotspot, I think it was $10 more a month, but they said it was like 100 gigabytes, I think is what it was. But they said if it's just in the house, I probably wouldn't need that, where I could use my phone as a hotspot.
That's what I say. It's just, you're using it in a fixed location. I'm not. I'm mobile is the main difference in it.
Yours.
But we'll get back to that here today, hopefully. Somebody went by yesterday and paid the bill on the tool truck. And I don't know if they know what a blessing that was, because I was trying to figure that one out.
Tool truck back.
It's hard to have much of a business without that. I got, November of 2020, the week before Thanksgiving, I had another truck and somebody hit me in the side and totaled it. And I went 9 months without a truck and working out of a 16-foot enclosed trailer that I threw together and run my business out of it for 9 months and argue with the insurance company. So I didn't want to go that route again.
It's Matco truck.
It's pretty nice. A little bigger than what I want, but at the time I couldn't be choosing about it because it was a 2-year lead time to have one built, and I'd already been without a truck for 9 months, and I couldn't go another 2 years.
A diesel N4AZE.
L4HK. Go ahead, Ken. I know you've got to be getting close.
So I'm going to say 73G. Good to hear you again. Patrick, I hope you have an awesome, prosperous day, and I look forward to catching you guys in the morning. KN4TFW.
Ken, I hope you have a great day, and tell Miss Susan, Elise and I said hello when you see her this afternoon. KO4HG.
Ken, good talk to you. Be safe at work. You do. I guess he's at the gate. I don't know. What's he doing, Patrick?
He works for Lubrisol in the stores section. He manages the parts, that kind of thing. I don't know if he's the manager or not, but I know that's what he does up here in Spartanburg.
Spartanburg.
Yeah, roger that.
Managing parts. And you keep all kind of stuff on your truck, don't you?
L4 HGX. Yes, I do. I've got body tools, mechanics tools, meters, you know, just a little bit of everything. It's hard to describe without getting on one, but if you've been in the body business, you've been on them.
It's been a while. It's been 10 years or longer or something like that. But, yeah, used to love to go on them. I'd always make a deal with them when I'd buy something, you know, like a ratchet set or something. The guys would set up on a weekly thing and all that would drive me nuts.
That... It drives us nuts on this side, too, so don't worry. But I have a lot of guys that just, they get on there and, you know, they won't pay for it right now. I run a pretty heavy business that way. So I don't have the big clientele that some of these other ones do that are paying weekly.
I hated payments. I wanted out of payments as early as I could get in life, and of course, you still wind up with it no matter what you do. But, yeah, the guys, I know guys at the shops were, sometimes they'd hide from them or go to lunch when they knew they were coming and all because they didn't have, they spent their money over the weekend, you know.
That they wasn't a priority to them, the tools that they use to make their living with. And I've got one or two that way, but I tend to weed that stuff out fairly quickly.
Yeah, a couple of them, I think it was Snap-on, they figured it out when to come by, you know, Friday afternoon after they got their checks.
But, I don't know, I can't be everywhere on Friday afternoon, and I've got over 100 stops on my route, so I can't do that.
As was the worst ones, because they finally show up Friday afternoon to get paid.
Sweetie, body guys are some of the worst about paying their bills.
I've been around them all my life, and they drink too, most of them.
They have too many extracurricular activities of harmful substances that they shouldn't be messing with.
Six. They manage to, I don't know how they do it, but, you know, they manage to not do anything till 6 o'clock. But at 6 o'clock opens up, so does the beer cans, and they sit around the shop, and I'm like, guys, they say, you think you better than everybody, you won't drink with us. I said, look, I just don't drink. I got a different life. I do something else. That's just how it is.
That I'm the same way. I don't drink. And the last dealership I worked at, the owner would come out at quitting time, and everybody would go in there and sit down and have a beer, except for me, and I just couldn't do that. I didn't care for it, and I always got the same response. Well, you think you're better than us? No, I just don't drink, don't want nothing to do with it. I grew up in a house full of drunks and drug addicts, and you can have it. I know what it leads to.
I worked a lot of them, you know, and things, and but when I worked for a body shop early, that's how it was. But when I owned it, it was different. They left me alone, you know, and they'd hide stuff from me then. But they would not drink till 6 o'clock. Their motto was, if we have a drink at lunch, it's over. We'll have to drink the rest of the day. Won't be able to work.
If you were to come ride with me one day and see how the world has changed, because now that... They might not be doing it right there in the open, but it's going on all day long.
Yes, they may have done that under my nose. I don't know.
Get them left-handed cigarettes and their beer, and they'll take them a smoke break and go sit out in their car, and that's what they're doing.
I did tell them, yeah, I said, look, what y'all do when you're not here at the shop, I don't care if you smoke or whatever you do. I said, but don't do it here at work.
So, it's a different world out here today, I can tell you that. And the tool trucks have got a lot more on them than tools, because you got to have toys to get their attention nowadays. Cars, Bluetooth speakers, and just grills, you know, the stuff that's got nothing to do with work. and just be amazed at it.
I hadn't thought. I used to do that. Some RC cars used to run the little circuit they had in South Carolina. I know a guy in Georgia back in the 80s and junk had fun doing that, but I finally stopped that too. Now, I piddle with the airplanes a little bit here in the backyard, the little RC airplanes.
That, I've been with the runway there, I'm sure you do.
Backyard, I'm at the end that I got here in the 80s before anybody was even here. And Vicky got to choose where she wanted to put the house, so I'm glad I wanted it on the runway. She wanted it at the end of it, away from everything, which she made the right decision. But, yeah, I've got a big area in the backyard where I can fly my little planes or whatever, you know. That's what I tell you, if somebody wanted to set a chopper down here, they set it right here in the backyard. It's wide open.
That, I was listening to the radio yesterday, and they were talking about that, the group up in Swannanoa that set up a full-blown, like, military talk up there because he's ex-military, and they had 35 helicopters and airplanes flying in and out of there every day, doing rescue missions and supply drops into areas you couldn't get to. It was pretty awesome to read about and listen to.
Guys, I wasn't aware of it. They were working out of Pickens. Some of the guys here at the Strip were, they had a Carolina flight, something or other. They were organizing stuff, getting donations there, and then carrying them from there to the different places. They weren't going, they were, some of them were going to Transylvania, but most of them were going elsewhere. I guess it might have been Asheville. I don't know.
That, the outpouring of help has just been amazing.
Transylvania, because I know one of them told me that they had stopped all that now because there's different types of needs up there now or something. I don't understand that.
And there's like three phases of disaster relief. You got the emergency, just get them supplies, basic supplies, food, water, shelter. And then you got the next phase of just, okay, now we can let them cook and take care of themselves and start recovering, cleaning up a little bit. And then you got the last phase where it's just, okay, now we can help you rebuild.
You're in the cooking for themselves phase right now, just hanging on.
Functioning that way. Problem is we're coming into winter up here, and next week's supposed to be down in the 20s. So we're scrounging, trying to find tents and supplies and stuff like that to keep everybody warm. Didn't have a chance yesterday to talk to anybody and find out exactly how well that was going yet. So I'll see if I can't get in there and get some news today.
Still stranded up there because of the roads or what?
Some places that are cut off, they're having to ATV and mule stuff in, get it there. There's people in there with dozers cutting new roads as we speak. I mean, just, it's go, 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 throwing up some kind of infrastructure so you can get in.
Yeah, I guess cutting new roads would be the way rather than try to deal with the old ones.
Until they can get the new ones or the old ones cleared, you know, they're just doing what they got to do. Miles upon miles of, you know, just new dirt roads pushed in so that they can get into these places.
Just clear the trees and make it look like a road. At least you got something, right?
That KO4HKX. We don't have any of that inside that I know that I, last time I looked anyway. Hopefully this hurricane stays away from us because we don't need no more rain or hurricanes, that's for sure.
Talking to the guys, I do HF, not a lot anymore, but in the mornings some, and in the evenings just a little bit. But I talked to, in our group, seven of them in Florida there, and some of them are right in the path of this hurricane, and they're not going to leave.
Say, well, I've been through this one, I've been through that one, and they're just not going to leave, huh? So, and that's their call to make. It's your decision. That's the thing about a free country. It's supposed to be you can make the decision on how you want to live and die.
I know we didn't leave. I blame some of it on the Weather Channel and some on the weather casters, too. They've told us so many times, you're going to get 70-mile-an-hour winds and 8 inches of rain out of this, and we never get it. And then you see Mike Seidel look like he's about to fall down in a windstorm, and you catch two people walking behind him drinking coffee. You know, so you're thinking, finally you just say, you know, it's not going to do that. We've been through it too many times. They keep telling us it, and then all of a sudden, this is the one that happens.
That I think that's kind of what happened on this storm here. People weren't taking it seriously.
Over and over. Boy, y'all better leave. I know they got their advertisers. They need to make money. They need to be watched. The only time they get watched the most is during a disaster like or a hurricane or whatever. But people, you know, I guess they just get like, well, we've heard it before. It's the last one, even here, we were going to get all kind of winds, all kind of rain. We didn't get any rain, and we got just a little breeze. I mean, 10 miles an hour, and that was it. And I thought, golly, we got robbed. And then when they had this other one, we didn't pay any attention either. And it caught us by surprise here.
That's what I say. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. I don't know what the perfect answer is, and I don't know that there is one, so I don't know which way would be better.
Well, like in Florida, I guess you got to take them serious. I mean, even if it doesn't happen, after what we saw, because, you know, we're stubborn people over here, and I know they are up in the mountains. They're not going to leave their homes, and I think that's why a lot of them didn't make it through it. You know, if it had been here like that, we'd have been wiped out too. We just didn't get hit like that, like they did. But yeah, I can see why people stay there.
Rock Lake Lure area, they done a evacuation order, and over 50% of the people said, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stay right here.
Thanks about a hurricane up there at 5,000 feet. You know, you're worried more about ice, not a hurricane.
Well, threat is a snowstorm that does this kind of damage, or an ice storm, not a hurricane.
When you think of hurricanes, you always think the coast, you know.
That I've been through a couple of hurricanes here in western North Carolina. That this is by far the worst one, that's for sure. The last one was back in 03, 04. I can't remember if it was Ivan, Francis, one of those. It took down a lot of trees because the wind come through and blew a lot of trees over. So power was out for over a week then. So that's when I bought my whole house generators, right before that storm hit. So I've had it that long, and I've got more use out of it this past week than I have any time else.
That's what I'm looking at next now. I've got the open frame generator that I roll out. It'll do the whole house, but I got to keep putting gas in it, which in this case you got to deal with it. So we hadn't had much stuff to have to deal with other than a few hours at a time. But that one you've got, what is it that you have? Is it the Generac or what?
I have a Generac, and it's got the automatic transfer switch in it, which is nice for my wife. When I'm not home, it automatically comes back on and powers up. And then when I'm home, I can take manual control of it instead of just letting it run all the time. Because that's what we've been doing this past 12, 13 days, whatever it's been, is just I'll run it for a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours at night, and that keeps everything cold and charged up so we can run on battery the rest of the time.
And rather than let it run at night while we're were sleeping because the temperatures were too good. You know, we didn't need heat, we didn't need air, and that's why I went out to get a smaller one. I did find one. Then power came back on, but it was a 5500. I got that because it burned half the gas, and because we weren't using air or anything, so I was going to leave the big one. We just I just ran it in the mornings, and then I'd get up every 4 hours and fire it up for about an hour, you know, so you know, keep the freezer going and the refrigerator and everything.
Well, like I said, we run ours generally between 3 and 4 hours of a day, of a morning, and same thing at night, and that was enough to keep the refrigerator and freezer cold all day long, because we were both gone during the day up there at anchor working, or now I'm down here, so it worked out really good for us. And it's a propane generator, so I got propane heat in the house, so I had 400 gallons behind the house, so we was good to go for a little while.
Ask, we've got a, you know, originally I bought this property in the 80s, and they didn't have gas here. It was just propane, because nobody was here. So, but as it's grown up, we've got natural gas up here, so I'm trying to decide. I still got the propane tank buried out there. It's I think they call it, it's 500, I think, or 700, but they only fill it like 80%, I guess, for expansion. But we got natural gas, too. I'm going to go ahead and do one of these pole house thing. I think they were talking about a 26K should do it without a problem. So, but I'm trying to debate propane or natural.
The only thing I'd say about natural gas is if service goes down, then you don't have your generator. With the propane, you're relying on yourself, but you have a short-term supply, a shorter supply. So it's you got to balance out which one you want.
I mean, and I know these things are dual fuel, but I guess you could set it up to where you could switch it from one to the other, but I don't know if the law allows that. But now we've never, since we got, even when we had propane, we've had some power outages in the wintertime. We'd run the cooktop. But as far as I know, the natural gas has never failed.
And that's why I'm just making you aware, like right up here in this disaster in Western North Carolina, gas lines are gone. So, you know, they've had to worry about that too. So that's why I say that, you know, do you want to rely on the infrastructure or do you want to have your own infrastructure?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, I may have to kick that around and see what kind of, I know I could figure out how to switch that stuff around. I'd give me a sniffer, you know, N4AZE.
You have to go from natural gas to propane, you have to change the orifice in it, and you have to adjust the hertz on it because they run at different amounts of BTU out of the fuel, so you have to make some adjustments in the generator. I don't know of one that will do it on the fly. Not to say that there's not out there, but technology is increasing with that. But another thing I keep around the house is these battery backups. I keep not a huge one, but a decent size. It would run the TV, the fan, the lights, that kind of thing for, you know, a couple hours. That way, if something happened to the generator, you got a little bit of time to work on it. Nothing had to be done immediately.
Okay, now, when you said you control yours manually, for instance, can you take it, pull the breakers, take it completely out of line and run a little small generator, say, if you wanted to?
Set it up that way, yes. Mine is not set up that way. What I was talking about is I don't let it work on auto. I keep it on manual so that it's not running all day long. I'm the one choosing when it runs, comes on and off.
That was, let's say I went with that's, I've still got the other generators that I can, you know, open frame generators I could roll out and hook up.
That, you'd be okay with that. But, dude, I have arrived here at Joey's, and I'm going to go in here and get with him and see if I can't get this truck fired up and get on the route. So I'll be back on the radio in a little while, but it'll probably be 20, 30 minutes before I get rolled back out of here. So, but it's good to talk to you this morning. I've enjoyed getting to know you. It's been a pleasure. But this is KO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your final. 7-3.
Patrick. Good to get to know you. All right, well, good luck with your truck. Go ride around out there and save some tools. Talk to you later. N4AZE.